Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We'd like to encourage you to sign Brother Jason's new books, which are gifts from the church. Just under the notice board there, we've got the first volume of both sets there, and we'd thought it'd be a nice idea for the church family to sign and give their blessing, just to remind him to use the books as he looks at all the signatures. So if you could do that after the service, that would be great, to put your signature in and give your blessing to Brother Jason upon his graduation. Proverbs chapter 6, please. We're going to study verses 16 to 19 this evening. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. And within this little portion, God gives us seven sins that God hates, which God calls an abomination. Verse 16 reads, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would draw us near to yourself. And Lord, we pray as we study your eternal word, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And Lord God, give us your mind. Help us to see sin as you see sin, that we might remove our hearts and lives from it, and be drawn closer to you, living in holiness and godliness. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 is a wonderful chapter. And it began with verses 1 to 4 dealing with the issue. Pardon me, verses 1 to 5 dealing with the issue of surety. And the Proverbs reminds us of the wisdom of refusing to be a guarantor for another financially, lest you are ensnared by their debt. And then from verses 6 down to verse number 11, we noted the principles of laziness, and the Bible defines for us what is laziness. Laziness is a person that wastes time. A lazy person is also a person that is lazy in all the little things. The little things, they're the key. Look for the little things. They won't put their dirty washing in the dirty washing basket. They'll use a cup and throw it in the sink as opposed to washing it, drying it and putting it away. Lazy, just the little things. That's how God defines laziness. And then at the end there in verse number 11, we noted the fact that this laziness, this sluggardness leads to a person that has very little to show for life. One that travails, one that has little to show with his life because they've been lazy. And also a lazy person can be tempted to commit crime in order to have their needs met. And then from verses 12 to 15, we noted God's definition of a naughty person, and we studied, you might recall, that a naughty person is not just a little spoilt brat, a little child that has a tantrum in the middle of the Woolies aisle there at the shopping centre. Now, God defines a naughty person as a person that is worthless, is of no value. Now, that doesn't mean that God belittles people. It's in reference to their value for your life and my life. So when God refers to a person as being a naughty person, he's not belittling people. God doesn't belittle people. God is an all-loving God. He doesn't belittle us. But God tells us that a naughty person is of no value to you. They are a wicked person. They are of no value. There is no value in your company of a naughty person. And we studied the other week that a naughty person
gives evidence of being such a wicked man by what they say, walketh with a froward mouth. It's evident what they say. He winketh with his eyes. It is evident in what they focus upon and approve. Their focus, they wink with their eyes, they give their approval. He speaketh with his feet. Another mark of a naughty person is it will be evident in the places that they will go. Where do they like to go? Where do they like to hang out, so to speak? And then last but not least, another mark of a naughty person is that he teacheth with his fingers, evident in his actions, evident in his actions. So the Bible defines this naughty person as one that is so in his speech and what he focuses on, the places he goes and what he does. And the Bible warns us there in verse 14, beware of the naughty person because they cannot be trusted. They are fraud in their heart. You can't trust a naughty person. You young people, let me warn you once again, you can't trust a naughty person. Okay? If you spend time with a naughty person, a wicked man, they are not trustworthy. Oh, but Pastor, they're my friend. No, they are not. They are not. They are mischievous in heart. God knows the human heart. God wasn't born yesterday. Amen? God's eternal. Okay, your parents know a whole lot, young people, but God knows a whole lot more. He's eternal. And the Bible teaches us you can't trust a naughty person. They are not trustworthy. And also at the end of verse 14, they are disloyal. They'll give you up for kittens. Okay? They'll give you up for kittens. They are disloyal, so to speak. You know? Cats aren't worth anything. That's why I'm using that term. All right? They give you up for kittens, you know? They sow discord. They're going to betray you. They're disloyal. Okay? Now, and then in verse 15, we noted that God will judge the naughty person, the wicked man. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. God will judge the naughty person. So young people, mature people, discern the naughty person. So much of the Proverbs is given for us that we might have eyes to see, those to avoid and those to keep company with. Okay? Now let's move on to verse 16. God uses the word abomination here. The word abomination means to have disgust for, appalling, odious, morally repulsive. And God tells us in the Word of God, there are seven things that God considers an abomination. Note then verse 16, an abomination unto him. These seven things God hates. Now, you'll find the word abomination in the Scriptures. It's not there hundreds and hundreds of times. But you can very easily do a little word search, look up the word abomination. And there you will see the few things that God really hates. For example, God considers sodomy as an abomination. Okay? The Bible teaches us God considers sodomy an abomination. And God considers these seven sins an abomination. God strongly hates the seven items he's about to mention. What are they? And in knowing what God hates, may God give us a holy hatred as well for that which God hates. And note then verse 17, the first one is a proud look. God hates, you can use that word hate to replace abomination. That might help to reflect the heart of God concerning these issues. God hates, God considers an abomination, a proud look. an attitude, for example, of superiority. A proud person is one that overrates themselves, that values themselves more than what they ought to. A superior attitude. God hates pride. It was pride that led to Lucifer's destruction. There in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we read of the five I wills. Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of pride. When Satan tempted Eve, Satan said to Eve, "If you eat the fruit of this tree, ye shall be as gods." So he implied the principle of pride, superiority. And beloved, we as the people of God need to guard against pride. One of our memory verses there in Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." What is the opposite of pride? Humility. Humility involves you and I having a right view of ourselves. Like the great apostle Paul, who said, "I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God." And we need to guard our hearts concerning pride. It's been well said that pride is at the core. Pride is at the core of every sin. Think about it. Pride is at the core of every sin. God hates pride. But the Bible teaches us, and Jesus said time and time again, "If you will humble yourself, I will exalt you. If you will exalt yourself, then I will abase you." God hates pride. And we need to remain humble before a holy God. And God teaches us in the book of James, God gives grace to the proud. Is that right? No. God gives grace to the humble. See? So if you want God's grace and God's power upon your life, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Sinners saved by the grace of God. I am what I am by His grace. I am zilch. But God is everything. See? God hates pride. A proud look. That means pride can be seen. Note the wording. Blessed King James Version. Look at it. A proud look. You can see pride. Can you not? You can. A proud look. Abomination number one. I heard the story of Muhammad Ali on a plane. Have you heard this story before? Muhammad Ali was on a plane and the steward came by and said, "Sir, will you please put your seatbelt on?" And Muhammad Ali said, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. And so she walked away. Then she came back and Muhammad Ali hadn't put his seatbelt on as yet. And then so the steward said once again, the lady said to him once again, "Please put your seatbelt on, sir." And he said once again, "Superman doesn't need seatbelts." And she walked away and then she came back. He still hadn't put his seatbelt on, and once again she asked him, "Please put your seatbelt on," and he said once again, "Superman doesn't need seatbelts." And then the air steward said to this man, "Sir, Superman doesn't need to fly in planes. Put your seatbelt on." See, that's pride, isn't it? It's pride, a proud look. God hates pride. And also, let's move on to the next sin that God hates: a lying tongue. The word lying here is in reference to deliberately telling the opposite of truth. A lying tongue. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible teaches us that the lake of fire will be full of liars. Those that deliberately oppose the truth. Those that deliberately lie. One of the Ten Commandments teaches us that we are not to bear false witness. You know, Ephesians 4:25 teaches us that we are to speak the truth in love. Go to Proverbs 12, please. Chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 22. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination, to the Lord. But they that deal truly, or those that tell the truth, are His delight. God delights in truthfulness, but God sees lying as an abomination. So God hates a lying tongue, a person that deliberately chooses not to tell the truth. Thirdly, let's move on to verse number 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. This is in reference to those that act with cruelty towards others. Those that are cruel to others. For example, Cain slew Abel. That was an example of hands that shed innocent blood. And Jesus said, I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. But the devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And God hates those that take the lives of the innocents with acts of cruelty. The Bible teaches us this begins within the heart of man. Look at Matthew chapter 15 for a moment, please. Matthew chapter 15. I think this is the right verse. Matthew 15, verse 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, pardon me. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Look at verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So all of these sins that are an abomination to God begin within the heart of man. Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that. God hates those. Hates this sin. Those that are do acts of cruelty towards others, as Cain did with Abel. The opposite of cruelty is kindness. There in Ephesians 4:32, the Bible teaches us, be kind one to another. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Look at verse number 18, please, back in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now this is in reference to our thoughts, sinful thoughts, to act in your mind, to have thoughts that are not honourable to Almighty God. Because these thoughts will eventually manifest themselves in evil actions. And King Saul was a classic example of that. King Saul was a man that had a heart that devised wicked imaginations. It all began with jealousy, did it not? And that jealousy eventually led to King Saul wanting to kill his most loyal subject, young David. And it all began with the heart. So this little phrase is in reference to our thoughts. Let me ask you this evening, what do you meditate upon? What dominates your thoughts? In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible teaches us how we ought to think. And I've said in the past, and I'll say it again, think right and you will act right. Think right and you will feel right. Oh, but Pastor, I don't feel right. It's because you're not thinking right. Philippians 4:8, think on these things and the feelings will come. See? When you think right, you will feel right. We are to be responsible for our thoughts. And the Bible teaches us that God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A person that entertains sinful thoughts. And as the devil so often plants these horrible thoughts in our minds, we need to take the sword of the Spirit, do we not? And cast them down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So we need to cast down those evil imaginations, those evil thoughts. And the devil is an absolute classic at planting horrible thoughts in your mind and in my mind. I'm sure you've been in situations where you've just been minding your own business, and all of a sudden, this thought comes to mind. And it's so left-wing, it would be embarrassing to mention anything to anybody. You know what I mean? Where does that come from? The prince and power of the air. But thank God for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we can cast it down with the Scriptures, filling our minds with the Scriptures and quoting the Holy Scriptures. God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, sinful thoughts. Let's move on. In verse 18, the Bible goes on to teach, and also feet that be swift in running to mischief. Now, this is in reference to those that quickly run towards sin, those that deliberately violate the Word of God. The word mischief means one who knows what he is doing and he deliberately sins anyway. A person that deliberately knows, for example, this is wrong, and they run towards it. They determine to do it. They deliberately sin. It's not the sins of ignorance. It's deliberate sin. See? God hates that. And listen to me, young people, mature people, when we deliberately sin, then we are committing this sin. We are exercising feet that be swift and running to mischief. God hates that. God hates that. When you and I deliberately know to do good and do it not, and we sin. We deliberately sin. We deliberately violate the Word of God. God hates that. God sees that as an abomination. An abomination. Second Timothy 2:22 gives us some good advice. Flee youthful lusts. And when you and I are tempted to sin, we need to flee like Joseph of old. So those that deliberately sin, feet that be swift, quick, in running towards mischief, they deliberately sin. God hates that. Look at verse 19, please. A false witness that speaketh lies. Now this is in reference to misleading. A false witness as opposed to a true witness. A witness is somebody that testifies. So God hates those that deliberately mislead. A testimony that is deliberately untrue. One that lies purposely. See? Just like Simon Peter denied the Lord how many times? Three times. Deliberately. Okay? He deliberately denied the Lord three times. God hates a false witness. Our responsibility is to be a true witness. Jesus tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 teaches us that ye shall be my witnesses. We are called upon to be a true witness. We are not called upon to mislead anybody. Look at Proverbs 25, please. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Proverbs 25, verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbour is a maul, like a mallet, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Damaging. To be a false witness is damaging, is hurtful to others. So God hates those that deliberately mislead. And last but not least, note there at the end of verse 19, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The word discord means to build a wedge or a wall between, to break a relationship. Now, if we go back to verse 14, one of the marks of a naughty person is that they will sow discord. You can't trust them, they're not trustworthy, and they are prone to sowing discord. And here in verse number 19, the Bible teaches us that God hates those that sow discord, those that come between relationships, those that build a wedge between people, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be within the family unit, whether it be within the New Testament church, those that break down relationships. And to flesh this out, we would apply this by saying those that influence others negatively. For example, if somebody whispers something into your ear that causes you to have a negative attitude towards that third person, that person that whispered in your ear is sowing discord. They are colouring your thinking. They've said so-and-so and so-and-so about that third person to you. They haven't said it to them. They said it to you. And automatically in your brain, you're storing this negativity. And what that does, that builds a wedge between you and that person. And you have to make a decision. Do I believe what I've been told? And what often happens is people will take it on board, and this is what we tend to do. We take on negativity about that third person, we take it on board, and that affects our relationship with that person. And all of a sudden that third person feels like, why is so-and-so keeping their distance? It doesn't seem like they like me. See, that's sowing discord. God hates those that sow discord. Be careful, brethren. Don't spend time with people that sow discord. If somebody dares to say something negative to you about a third person, be wise and say, will you stop that? Will you stop that? And if you've got something negative to say, why don't you be a man or be a woman of God and say it to their face instead of gossiping to me? Because you're colouring my thinking about that person. And when I see that person the next time, the way I treat them will be coloured by what you've said about them. That's why you and I need to be careful whom we spend time with. Because they will affect your thinking. Sow discord amongst the brethren. God hates that. And let me tell you, it takes place amongst God's people. Some of you are being influenced by what other people have said to you about that third person. But you don't have the courage, nor the gall, nor the spirituality to challenge what's been said to you or to make sure that that is either true or not true. But in your cowardness, you are keeping it in your heart and it's affecting your relationship with that third person. You can say amen. True. You know, we're all guilty of it. So need to be careful. Those that sow discord, God hates. God tells us they build a wedge between relationships. You know, I've had people say things to me about other pastors, and I've tried to exercise the discipline of going back to that pastor and asking them, is this true about you? See? And that's what we ought to do. See? Don't just take negativity on board, beloved. Stand back and say, hang on, that was a negative comment. If I entertain that, that's going to affect my relationship with that third person. So you need to do something about that. God hates that. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. So these are seven sins that God hates. Let's review in closing: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, cruelty, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, wrong thoughts, feet that be swift in running to mischief, those that willfully sin, a false witness that speaketh lies, those that deliberately mislead, and he that soweth discord among brethren, those that break down trust within relationships, those that sow discord, put a wedge between an individual and another because of what they have said to them. Beloved, this evening God tells us that all of these seven are an abomination. And may God grant you and I the same passion to avoid these seven sins. The number seven is the number of completion. And that reflects to you and I that God hates these sins completely. This is the summation of all that God hates. So may God grant us the grace to take heed and avoid these sins and avoid becoming the next one that commits one or two or three of these sins, because God hates them. Let's hate what God hates. Let's love what God loves. That's my charge to you this evening. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, and I pray that you would help us to fully comprehend these seven abominations that you've spelled out in your holy word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, if we have failed you in any of these areas, Lord God, I pray that you would reveal that sin to us and grant us the grace to confess and forsake and seek your forgiveness. Lord, cause us to live holy and godly in this present world, that people might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.